Well, we're in the studio with Pastor Mark Martin. My name is Jonathan Belima, and we've been talking a little bit about the state of the dead, and I thought it would be really good for us to kind of cover the nature of man. As Adventists, I know that we're taught that man has two components, basically breath and flesh, you know, or dust. And I guess we get that from the text in Genesis chapter 2, where it teaches us that when God created Adam, he took the dust of the earth. And let's go ahead and turn there, Genesis 2, verse 7, where it says that, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living being. And that was the one text that was taught to me as a doctrinal basis of what makes up a person. Never was I taught that man had anything else but just breath and dust. And when he is, when man comes to a point in his life when he dies, basically his breathing mechanism goes away, and he goes back to the dust, and therefore the dead know nothing. But what I want to cover in this next segment here is just a little bit of what makes up a man, and why is knowing that important to those of us as believers.
Right. Well, I think the Genesis passage that you have read is obviously so important, especially when we look at origins and that we are indeed special creation, mankind, special creation of God. And that's in the whole intent of Genesis, is to tell us where we've come from and who we're accountable to.
Yes.
I think Adventists are reading a whole lot into the text to get their theology of mortality and conditional mortality out of this text. The Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the ruach in Hebrew. It could be translated sometimes spirit, and the idea is that this is a special act of God. Has this ever happened since?
No.
I mean, Adam is made out of dust or clay, and the Lord breathes into this wonderful creation and form that he's made life. And this is the miracle that God's life then would be breathed in. The life that comes from God would be breathed into him. It didn't happen with Eve, did it?
No.
This is a one-time event. I don't think it is ever meant to be a theological statement that everybody is a lifeless lump of clay that God breathes into. Thereafter, we have this wonderful capability to reproduce, and life is now passed on through, and there's significant qualities of life passed on through the human race.
Yes.
That we're more than just a body with breath, I think is really taught well throughout the Bible. But I didn't understand that as an Adventist.
No, neither did I.
The New Testament is really clear in the writings of Paul that we are more than just a body in a clay. Or clay body and with spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians. That's the passage that comes to my mind. It's chapter, 5?
5, verse 23.
5:23. Yeah, go ahead. You're there.
And it says here, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ."
What do you see there?
I see that he's saying that there's a preservation, a complete preservation of body, spirit, and soul that Paul is praying for there, and definitely three components that make up an entire person.
Yeah, right? It says sanctify you entirely. Mm-hmm. That's what I see too. And then that entity, that entire person is spirit and soul and body.
Yes.
If the definition, Adventism, now you help me because I think you've got a good grip on this. Adventism sees soul as?
Same as being a person, as in like one who breathes and is made from the dust equals a soul, as in a being.
And so read it with Adventism, this definitions. How would that read? May God of peace sanctify you entirely, and may your, what would it be?
Your breath mm-hmm. and your personhood and mm-hmm. body be preserved complete without the blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's sort of how I think it would be read, but it doesn't make sense.
So my breath would be eternally or safeguarded somehow, mm-hmm. Somewhere, mm-hmm. somehow. I'm not quite sure how. I don't think it makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Because the definition of breath and spirit and soul are not are not New Testament definitions. I think, confusing. I thought it's important, when you look at this idea of spirit and what's spirit, to look at John chapter 1, verse 18. In John 1, 18, Jesus comes. I'll tell you what I'm leading up to is that the Scripture says that, I just give it away right now, is that God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Look at John 1, 18, kind of familiar passage. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's seen God
mm-hmm.
because God is not like us in human form.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say man was made in the image of God, it wasn't in body.
No.
God doesn't have hands.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't have a body like we have. Though the Scriptures speak of him in anthropomorphic terms,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't have hands. And that's what John 4 says. In John 4:24, the Scripture says, God is spirit,
mm-hmm.
and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, help me out here. God is breath,
mm-hmm.
and those who worship him must worship him in breath and truth. It's not saying God is soul,
no,
and we worship him in soul. It's saying we worship him in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Spirit? Is it talking about the Holy Spirit? No, because God isn't the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole other usage that stretches the Adventist mind, mm-hmm. I think, here. Nobody's seen God. The only begotten of the God has explained him to us. So we're not talking about a body.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about God who exists in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's without a body.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be existence without a body.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Adventist doctrine teaches.
No.
What my point is that this is showing that God exists as a spirit, you could mm-hmm. translate this, separate from a body.
Yeah.
And the image of God in us, created in his image, is that we could live spiritually
mm-hmm.
With a consciousness and in a body, which is kind of an earth suit.
Okay.
So there's, you know, a threefold nature to us is what I'm seeing, okay. Body, soul, and spirit
okay.
being preserved.
With that said, though, in what way are we created in God's image then?
Well, I think God has a threefold nature, of mm-hmm. course, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that impression of Trinity is on us, we are body, soul, and spirit. That is the image of God, that the threefold nature, yet we are one person.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit is not breath, but our spirit is what is regenerated
mm-hmm.
when we're born again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's scripture references that show that in John chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
Where Jesus says, truly, I say to you, in verse 3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can I do this? Nicodemus responds, and Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the
Spirit,
he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are born again in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what part of me becomes born again? My breath?
No.
Okay. My soul? No. The mind is enmity. The old carnal mind mm-hmm. is enmity towards God. My will has to be subject to God. My will isn't born again.
Mm-hmm.
My mind isn't necessarily born again. It's my spirit that is born again. I mean,
yeah.
you have to think about the theological implications of only being an animated piece of clay.
Mm-hmm.
With a little mind.
You know, it's really interesting to me because as you're speaking, I just think back to my days as an Adventist, and I remember hearing things like spiritual things are spiritually discerned, or this is spiritual, and I'd equate anything that referred to the word spirit or spiritual mm-hmm. as meaning theological, as opposed mm-hmm. to meaning something of a personality or,
right.
or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or having a personhood or
right.
a part of being of, right. of being altogether.
You know, one of the foundational things is that when God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, he said that the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hebrew actually says, and dying you shall die.
Yeah.
And the idea is something died as soon as Adam and Eve partook of that. Now, did they die physically? No, not immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Did they die emotionally? No.
Mm-hmm.
Did they die spiritually? Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so in their spirit, they died.
Yeah.
That is what has to be born again.
Yeah.
Because when I'm born again, my body isn't born again. It's my spirit.
Yeah.
And then the mind grows into that. The will grows into this new birth. And we learn how to please the Lord. We learn to walk in manners that are worthy of our calling. But it is spiritual life. It's a part of us that, as Adventists, we never knew we had.
And you know, the thing that's so mind-blowing for me is that I didn't understand being born again. Because mm-hmm. I thought that what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was a theoretical type of being born again. Theoretically, you must be born again, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so it just when that part of the nature of man is explained, I get a new insight of what Jesus is really saying. As far as, you know, what it takes to be born again, that it's the spirit, the actual part of you that makes you who you are.
It totally changes the book. I mean, you read the book and it's absolutely a brand new thing.
Yeah.
The Bible's a new book to me, and I'm just so overjoyed to mm-hmm. read it with new, you know, with an understanding of what it says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying,
mm-hmm.
yet our inner man is being renewed day by day.
Yes.
What's the inner man? It's the spirit.
Spirit.
Our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me define this. The body, pretty clear in Scripture, the body is the earth suit we're all wearing, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. And it's the way I live out my soul
mm-hmm.
and live in the spirit on mm-hmm. earth is through my body. The soul is our mind, will, and emotions.
Yes.
The spirit is that part of me that is born again by Jesus Christ and comes alive when, by grace through faith, we are saved. And it is the place
mm-hmm.
where God dwells in me. The Holy Spirit now indwells in me.
Yes.
And it's the headquarters where God communicates to
yes.
me. Romans 8, it says, for you have not received, verse 15,
mm-hmm.
a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit
mm-hmm.
that we are children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just stop and let's go back to definitions. How does the Spirit bear in witness with my breath that I am a child of God?
Yeah.
No. May the Lord preserve you body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So You cannot go back to Genesis and say, well, he breathed in him the breath of life and he became a living soul. One-time act, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, now for me to be born again, God has to do that. He has to breathe in me the breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit comes into my spirit that is empty and dead and, mm-hmm. and devoid of God, and I become a really living soul
yes.
the moment I'm born again.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an interesting parallel at this point. I think to see the truth of verse of Romans 8:16, that in my spirit I bear witness with God's spirit that I'm a child of God, is something that I never understood as an Adventist. It's just one of those other passages of scores of passages that I didn't really understand. It's not about the Sabbath anyway. It's mm-hmm. not about the state of the dead. It's not about tithing.
It's one of those places where Paul is hard to understand.
Yeah. And I think it's so clear and uh-huh. so neat to know I can become alive,
mm.
spiritually alive. And that would be my prayer for someone listening right now, that you not only get a knowledge, you can get a knowledge about things like, well, maybe I don't believe in Ellen White anymore.
Mm.
Or I understand the investigative judgment in 1844 isn't for me. But to know beyond head stuff, but to know spiritually now Jesus,
mm-hmm.
To be offered life in Christ, Jesus will come into your spirit and he will cause you to be alive in spirit. He
mm-hmm.
will cause your spirit that is dead to be alive. It's phenomenal, and I never knew it.
Yeah,
I don't think you knew it either.
No, absolutely not. I mean,
and it's transformed our lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's you can look at the word completely different. I mean, it just changes everything. Knowing it. And for me, it helps me understand the gospel even more as to why Jesus had to come and die, why he had to be born of a virgin birth. Mm-hmm. And all those things, why he had to be conceived of the Holy Spirit,
right.
you know, whereas I was born missing something, he
exactly.
was born complete.
Full of the Spirit,
yes.
full of the Holy Spirit, not dead in spirit, alive in spirit
yeah.
and filled with the Spirit, and of course, God, the Son.
Yeah.
One of the things I hear from people about when I'm talking about the nature of man and even the state of the dead, because they kind of tie together, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens then if God, the Holy Spirit, indwells my spirit, what happens to me when I die?
Yeah.
Well, my spirit goes on to live
mm-hmm.
because I'm sealed to Christ forever. One of the things that comes up is people go to the website at exadventist.com and they'll click on the state of the dead section
mm-hmm.
and they'll read it and they'll email me. This happened quite a few times. You don't have a biblical argument. Nothing you have to say is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a leg to stand on. And I'm always in wonder of that because there are so many supporting scriptures to what you know we're sharing right now. The
yes.
basic outline is in that section on mm-hmm. the website that you can look up. But the scripture indicates that not only is a spirit what is regenerated, but that God works through a person's spirit. Proverbs
mm-hmm.
20, verse 27 says that a person's spirit has intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I think you were referring to that in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11,
mm-hmm.
that our spirit has intelligence. Look at this.
Where it says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him, even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God." Even that text right there, the spirit of man which is in him.
Right.
Is that the breath of...
Is that the oxygen I just breathed and I'm holding my breath?
Yeah.
This is neat stuff, though.
This is
breaking new ground, and
mm-hmm.
this is a discovery moment for someone right now.
Yeah.
I know this is. And then... there's another point that the scripture makes, and that is that a person's spirit has emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of John 11:33, where this is that Lazarus passage, and It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, he saw Mary weeping at Lazarus' tomb, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in
spirit. Mm.
It means his spirit, mm-hmm. and was troubled. And so what is this? It's not deeply moved in the Holy Spirit. The Greek says his spirit.
His spirit. Mm-hmm.
This is that place that we've been talking about.
Yeah. It's not meaning spirit as in he was deeply moved in emotion, in the emotion as far as like his spirits were down, mm-hmm. but in spirit as in a
right
part of him.
And in our spirits, that place of us cries out to God, mm-hmm. Abba, Father. We didn't go on in Romans to read that, but there is a sense that from the depths of my life, which is my born-again spirit, mm-hmm. I communicate with God.
Yes.
I have feelings of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sense of awe and wonder that I can't even get out through my soul, yes. my mind, will, and emotions. There are moments when I don't even have words in my mind to express praise to God.
Yes.
And it's just a spirit mm-hmm. to spirit thing where my spirit
connects with his.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not all woo. It's really solid theology.
Yeah.
In the Bible, and the texts just I think are unknown. You know, because there's been no teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem in Adventism is there is not a verse by verse exposition of the word.
Yeah.
It's just a topical text.
One thing, too, you just kind of went there a little bit about the spirit being some crazy woo mm-hmm. type of thing. In other churches, other denominations that are Christian Bible-based denominations, how many churches would you say that? Because the fear of Adventism when we start speaking about the spirit is spiritualism will creep into the church, or they'll say that there's a heresy of spiritualism that takes place if you start believing in this. Now, how many churches that do you know of that actually believe in communicating with spirits mm-hmm. as a good thing?
There is no Christian church mm-hmm. that believes that. I mean, there are spiritualist quote churches unquote. You mm-hmm. know, that's the occult.
Yeah.
Any Orthodox, especially let's say evangelical Christian, is never, ever going to believe that because it is forbidden by God.
Yes.
Communicating, dialoguing, connecting with, communicating with spirits is forbidden. And the only ones in scriptures that communicate, with maybe one exception, are imposters and false spirits. I can only think of one, and that was when Samuel mm-hmm. appeared to Saul, and the Lord allowed him to come back
mm-hmm.
and communicate to him. But other than that, and Moses and Elijah, I suppose, on mm-hmm. the Transfiguration. But that was not going through occultic methods to communicate with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that we don't communicate with the dead. Going back to the dead know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Under the sun, the dead don't get to come back and communicate. Luke 16 mm-hmm. says there's a big gulf between the living and the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Though they're alive and conscious. According to Revelation 5 and Isaiah 14 and, you know, many other passages, though they're alive and conscious after death,
mm-hmm.
they cannot communicate with us. And we are forbidden to do that. So Protestant Christians, we do not believe in that. I think it's a straw man.
Yeah, it really is.
Argument that Adventists have built.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
To think that's what Christians believe, who believe that when you die, you go to be with the Lord.
So once again, true Bible-believing Christians, when they're speaking about the Spirit or mm-hmm. their spirit, they're not talking about some Sylvia Brown psychic connection.
No, not talking
Let's talk
about
to your
ghosts.
Uncle who died years ago, and if
Never.
They still... We're not talking about that.
Never. Mm-hmm. That is not thinkable. That is unthinkable. That is not a possibility doctrinally
mm-hmm.
for Christians.
Okay.
So that is something I think that has been inserted incorrectly. Maybe early Adventists misunderstood Christian teachings,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand the Trinity. They didn't understand the nature of Christ. They thought he was a created being and not God the Son. So it's not really implausible to think that they didn't understand what happens when you die, mm-hmm. you know, from a Christian perspective.
Talk a little bit about the separation between spirit and breath. And you shared a text with me earlier in Isaiah mm-hmm. 42, where it kind of talks a little bit about the separation. And I'll read it for you here. It says, Thus says the Lord, this is Isaiah 42, verse 5, Thus says the Lord, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring.
I like when he IDs himself like this.
Yes.
Thus says not just God, not just the Lord, but this, thus says God, Yahweh. Mm. You know, he's God, the Lord, and then I'm the creator.
Yes.
Know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
this isn't Isaiah's imagination here. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it.
Wow. To me, it clearly is distinguishing between breath and spirit. And mm-hmm. this is God, the Lord, the Creator, speaking. And,
yeah.
and here's the one who breathed breath into Adam, that one-time event.
Mm-hmm.
Adam became a living person, that one-time event. That didn't happen to Eve, just to bring this stuff back into mind. And he distinguishes between breath and the spirit. He says he gives breath to the people and spirit to those who walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
My body lives by breath. My spiritual part, my nature, spiritually, I live only in spirit, regenerated
mm-hmm.
Spirit that is not dead to God but alive to God.
Yeah.
And God sees this. So obviously here there's body. Body
yes.
isn't mentioned, but the creation is.
Yes.
Soul. And spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the body that breathes, we have the spirit, and then the intelligence to comprehend all this is our soul.
Yes.
That's awesome. Pretty neat, isn't it?
Really, really neat.
Just these kind of truths are freeing. Why would you not want to have solace in knowing that when you die, you go to be with Jesus? If the spiritualism thing is not an issue, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
If when you die, nobody's going to come back and haunt anybody,
mm-hmm.
that's impossible. Why can't Christians have the comfort of knowing that what has been regenerated by Christ, born again by Jesus, indwelt now by the eternal Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that obviously cannot die. It's imperishable, yeah. 1 Peter says. Why can't we have the comfort of knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? To depart is to be with Christ. That's very much better. Why couldn't a Christian have that wonderful hope when they die? Instead of the darkness of death and sleep and hoping for the resurrection, there is this clear New Testament understanding
mm-hmm.
of glorious life and never dying.
Yes.
The body sleeps, but the soul and spirit never die.
Yes.
The only reason we couldn't have that is because of the Adventist Ellen White teaching of 1844 investigative judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that was never taught by the Old Testament prophets, by the New Testament apostles,
mm-hmm.
not ever mentioned by Jesus. If this is like the three angels' message here.
The final message.
Why didn't Jesus even hint about mm-hmm. it? The Apostle Paul instead says there's no condemnation for mm-hmm. those who are in Christ Jesus. John says you've passed out of judgment into life.
Mm-hmm.
No early church father ever taught it.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the Roman Catholic Church with doctrines that it didn't understand ever came up. You know, sometimes they'll come up with weird doctrines. They never came up with anything like this.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this so many times, and I almost want to say forgive me for being so blunt, but I'm not apologizing for this. The 1844 message, what it really does when it comes down to it is it basically rips into the nature of God.